We're in Pesachim. We had basically reached, I think, the bottom of Kaf Aleph Amud Beis. So let's review a little bit of what we saw so far. Our Masechet began with the Mishnah said, Samuch Lemincha, one shouldn't eat. And we understood Samuch Lemincha is a half hour adjacent to Mincha. The Gemara began with a question. Wait, it's every Erev Yom Tov, why only Samuch Lemincha? And the Gemara offered two possible answers. Either this is the opinion of Rav Yossi, that allows you to eat always, or the Chiddush here is that this time it is Samuch. And the Gemara said, bottom line, the better answer is Rav Huna's answer, that this Mishnah is according with the opinion of Rav Yossi. And we said, Halacha k'Rav Yossi mechaveiro, so ordinarily the halacha should be like Rav Yossi bar Chalachta. And now we have a stam Mishnah like Rav Yossi, our Mishnah is going in according to Rav Yossi's opinion. So if the Gemara would have ended with that line, the halacha should have been like Rav Yossi, which would mean that on every Erev Yom Tov you could eat away, every Erev Shabbos you could eat as much as you want. It's only Erev Pesach, because you have the mitzvah of eating matzah. So, don't eat. So far, so good? Okay, let's just point out one point. Rashi said it's, the whole point is that you eat matzah with an appetite. Rashi could have just as well said it so that you eat the Korban Pesach with an appetite. If Rashi would have said the Korban Pesach, then we would have had room to think that maybe Bizman Hazeh, you could eat on Erev Pesach as much as you want. You'll notice that Rashi and Tosfos and Rashbam, no one makes mention of the Korban Pesach. It's obvious to everyone that this halacha revolves around the matzah. And you could say that the logic behind it is very simple, that the Korban Pesach has to be eaten when you're full anyway. So what do I care if you're full from the shlamim or you're full from the supper you ate? But at any rate, it's very obvious that this halacha is relevant today. Not to eat a meal, and then we saw Tosfos, the discussion of what you're not supposed to eat, but you're not supposed to eat a full meal. Tosfos already explained to us you could eat some fruits, vegetables. You want to eat a small amount of mizonos, you could, and then we went into the whole sugya of eating gebrokts. That you could do, but you're not supposed to eat a meal on the afternoon of Pesach, samuch lemincha. Okay, till here was one sugya. Then the Gemara quoted a story in this story we had Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi who were eating, and then Rabbi Shimon Gamliel said to Rabbi Yossi, maybe we should respect Rabbi Yehuda's opinion and stop the meal. And at the end of the story he said, what are you kidding? You're going to overrule my opinion? He said, at the end of the day, they set up the halacha like Rabbi Yossi. So again, on the surface it seems like the halacha is like Rabbi Yossi. And then we had a quote that said, no, the halacha is not like Rabbi Yehuda, not like Rabbi Yossi, but rather, if you're in the middle of the meal, just spread out a tablecloth, make kiddush, and continue your meal. And really here, the sugiyah started spreading out to a different direction, which is what happens if you started your meal already. You started your meal at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, it ran into Shabbos, Yom Tov, what do you do then? Are we together so far? Okay. And here, Tosfos brought in the idea of always spreading a tablecloth, that we always cover our challah from two sides, and we discuss the different reasons quoted in halacha, that it's seichel lemon, that we put a covering under the challah and a covering over the challah. But at any rate, the first halachic quote was that the halacha is not like Rabbi Yehuda or Rabbi Yossi. If you're in the middle of a meal and Shabbos comes in, so spread a tablecloth. Now this year it could even happen to you, because this year Rosh Hashanah is just before Shabbos. So on the second day of Rosh Hashanah, if you get home really late and you sit down for a meal, your Yom Tov meal, you could very easily find yourself in the middle of Yom Tov meal when suddenly it's sunset. Now what? Okay, so then he said, wait a second, aren't you supposed to stop the meal completely? The Gemara says, no, mafsikin means to spread a tablecloth over it. It brought a story. The story of Rabbi Bar Huno, who was by the Reish Galusa, and that this is how they did it. Okay. And then, basically, we're up to the next sugiyah, which brought us to the sugiyah of Kiddush and Shul. they make Kiddush Friday night in shul. Rav said, when you come home, you have to make a new bracha on the yayin. Yedei yayin lo yatzu. The berchas hanenin, you have to do again when you get home. But Kiddush, you're yotze. And Shmuel said, no, you got to make Kiddush at home again. So the Gemara said, why do we make Kiddush again at home if you're yotze according to Rav? You do it for the family. According to Shmuel, why do we make Kiddush in shul if no one's yotze anyways? You do it for the guests. So far, so good. And then we brought that Shmuel is in accordance with our other quote of Shmuel, that Kiddush has to be b'mokom se'uda. So the sugya of Kiddush b'mokom se'uda begins with the sugya of Friday night, the Kiddush in shul, where Shmuel says, you're not yotze Kiddush in shul because it's not b'mokom se'uda. Only the guests who are going to eat in shul, the Kiddush is for them. But for everyone else has to make Kiddush again at home. The Gemara says they thought maybe within one house, it's all considered one makom. And then the Gemara brought the story about how Shmuel, when he went from the attic down to the ground floor, he'd make Kiddush again. So that seems to indicate that even switching floors is not considered makom suda. The Gemara quoted that Rav Huna also holds that Kiddush has to be makom suda, and it brought the story that Rav Huna, after he made Kiddush, his light went out. So he went to his son's party. They were having a Sheva Brachas. So he went to his son to eat the meal there, and he made Kiddush again. So you see that Rav Huna also held that Kiddush has to be b'makom suda. And then the Gemara quotes that Rabba also held that way, because when Abaye would visit him and he'd make Kiddush, he'd always tell Abaye and the other students, guys, have something to eat, because maybe by the time you get back to your house, the light will go out, and how are you guys going to eat? So have something to eat over here, so you're yotze the Kiddush over here. And that's really where we ended off. The Gemara is about to question that, because we have a quote that Rabba used to do everything like Rav. And here we said Shmuel is the one that holds Kiddush has to be makom suda. Rav holds Kiddush does not have to be makom suda. Rav is more lenient here. So how come Rabba, who always goes like Rav, except for three exceptions, how come over here he goes like Shmuel and necessitates doing Kiddush be makom suda? That's an overview of what we did. You guys with me? Yes? Okay. So, let's see a few tosas in that we left out last time. First, let's see Tosfos. He said the guests, they eat and drink and sleep in the shul. So Tosfos says, "V'im tomar v'amrinan b'perik pnei ha'ir." We said in the Gemara in Megillah, the Gemara over there discusses the holiness of a shul. And by the way, those of you who want to add on to your learning, we have all of Gemara Megillah online, except for one class that I have to fill in. But the recording died out on us there. You could learn all of Masech Megillah. We did it last year here. And now we're doing Rosh Hashanah here on Monday and Tuesday nights. So if you guys want to learn it, we covered a lot of important concepts there. So here, the Gemara in Bnei Ya'il says that Batek Nesiot Enochlin Ben Men Shotin Ben. You're not allowed to eat or drink in shul. Avagav Da'achila V'Shtiya Shel Mitzvah Mutar. Even though technically eating and drinking for a mitzvah is mutar, Kedamrinim B'Yerushalmi. The Jerusalem Talmud says Shayu Ochlin Sham B'Kiddush HaChodesh. When they'd make Kiddush HaChodesh, part of the procession that the Beis Din used to do was they'd have a meal over the Kiddush HaChodesh. They'd have the Kiddush HaChodesh meal in shul. V'gam achshav nogin nishtot kos avdala uvrit milah. And even today, in the shuls and chutzarts where they make Avdala in shul, or some Hasidic shuls here in Israel, or at a bris milah, we do drink the wine. Now, we have to know that our shuls, we don't give them the holiness of shuls. Usually, most of our shuls are made with the holiness of a Beis Medrash. So they can make Kiddush there. So they could eat and drink there. But technically, if you have a shul that was made for the sake of a shul, that was given the holiness of a bit, a knesset, and not the holiness of bit midrash, you're not allowed to eat and drink there. So how come you make a bris milah there? That's all because it's a mitzvah. It's a drinking of a mitzvah. Mikol makom, sheina shen mitzvah. Any eating or drinking that's not for a mitzvah, v'sheina, or sleeping there, asu. So that's Tosus's question. What I wanted you to see was the logic Tosus brought for our drinking at a bris milah. Tosus is of the opinion that you're allowed to drink by a bris milah because it's a mitzvah. We have to know that the whole idea of doing a bris mila and shul is a bidyevit. Lechatchila, why are you doing the bris mila and shul? What does it have to do with shul? People think that you're supposed to do a bris mila and shul. People think you need to do bris mila, you got to do it in shul. I was once at a hall. So they want to do the bris. They said, no, let's go up to the shul to do the bris. What's the big idea? The whole reason we do a bris and shul is because everyone's already there. So we say, tircha de tzibura. Instead of making everyone schlep to the hall to do the bris there, we'll do the bris and shul. We won't make the tzibur travel anywhere else. But to make the tzibur travel to the shul, to make the bris over there, that's not right. We don't use the shul for other things. Just like we don't do a wedding in the shul. If we're already there, so the congregation is there, so it's not to make them all schlep, we do the bris and shul. That's the only reason we do a bris and shul, because everyone's already there. So we don't want to do tircha de tzibura, make them travel. When we make a bor priya gavim by a bris, so that's part of the mitzvah. It's part of the. No, that does not have to. No.
So then what's his question?
His question is, how come we drink? What are we doing drinking in shul? What are you doing drinking wine in shul?
Oh, that's the problem with eating with the.
No. It's all I did was the drinking. Yeah.
Okay. So it sounds like you're saying the definition of a shul would be is a lot different than we have the definition. Like it's only you come in, you daven, you leave. You don't sit. Do you sit and learn in a shul?
You're supposed to learn.
So what's the difference between a. You mentioned there's a
Beit Midrash and a Beit Midrash. A Beit Midrash is a place that's designated for learning. When you give it holiness, you do it for the sake of learning Torah there. And then you might also daven there. But the point of the place is for learning Torah. A shul is a place that's designated for davening. It says people who live in a community have a mitzvah that they have to set up a place for the service of Hashem in that community, a shul. It doesn't say they have to set up a beis medrash. There's halacha. You live in a community, you have a responsibility to set up a place where we all get together to daven, to talk to their bon shalom.
Sounds like, is there an ideal that the two places would be different?
I don't know. I don't know if there's an ideal to have a shul. You see, today we make most of our shuls but they medrash. So I don't know. There's a machlokas in the Gemara which is holier. We paskin that a base medrash is holier. But there are two opinions in the Gemara, which is a bigger kedusha. Bet Knesset or Bet Midrash?
Would a Bet Midrash be a fitting place for a Bet Midrash?
I don't think so. I think we would say the same thing.
It belongs in a hall.
Bet Midrash is for learning, so we have leniencies. We say, being the people who live there, as they're learning, you're learning there all day. We're not going to tell you not to eat anything. We're not going to tell you not to drink a cup of coffee. You're there all day. That's your home. But we still wouldn't say to eat lunch there. You want to eat a meal, not in the Beis Medrash. So Tosa says it doesn't literally mean v'yesh lomar. So we'll skip down Tosa's answer. De'lav davka bebei kenishta. They didn't literally eat and drink and sleep in the shul. Ela chadarim shayu smuchin lebet haKnesset kari bebei kenishta. But they'd have rooms that were adjacent to the shul. Now Tosa runs into a problem. What's Tosa's problem? What about shinui makom? How could you go from room to room? We just said going from one room to another room is not any more kiddush b'makom suda. So Tosas has to do like this. He's got to give us another answer. So Tosas says, okay, umishama yushal min hakiddush, and they'd hear their kiddush from out in the other room. They wouldn't stand with the congregation. We're making kiddush here. We're making it for them over there. And they're all going to go to their room over there while they're here making kiddush over here. That's a very difficult answer Tosis gives here.
Are you part of a minyan?
Yeah, a shul, at the end of shul. Comes the end of shul. We're making kiddush for who? For the guests. And the guests have to be in the room where they're going to eat already. Uh-huh. Very difficult tirtza Tosis gives. ולפי מה שפירשתי, זה ממקום למקום אחד בית, כשדעתו למכחול במקום אחר, יש קידוש במקום שסעודה, תשפיר. Tosis says, but my opinion, it's all okay. I say that if you're in one room and you plan on going to the other room for the meal, that's okay. So then everyone hears Kiddush and Shul, and they all plan on going to the other room where they'll eat and drink and sleep. There's one more point to point out on Tosfos. In Halacha we discuss that in Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, when the shuls are overflowing, and people start standing in the halls and in the adjacent rooms because there's too many people in Shul, shul is too full. So then, because those rooms are used for the overflowing crowds on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, those rooms have kedushas beis haknesses. They gain the holiness of the shul because they're like tefel. They're adjuncts to the shul. And then the question is, well, what would we hold? Could you eat there and drink there? Do you have to lock those rooms because the guests are going to eat and drink there and sleep there? If you don't want them to have the kedusha beis haknesses, how does that work? Is that something that remains needs work after Tosfos? Or did they have these adjacent rooms that never got filled during davening? No one would daven from there. That needs work. Okay, the next Tosfos discusses that from one corner of the room to another corner of the room, that's okay. That's not shinui makom. Tamu midi. So then the next Tosfos says, Rabbah would tell the students, if you're going to hear Kiddush in my house and go back to your host, eat something before you go. Ta'imu midi. You guys have it? Tosfos says, taste something. He would tell them. So, we're on page Kuf Aleph Amid Aleph. Ta'imu midi. Right there. Nireh dehainu te'imat lechem. So Tosfos says, what does it mean taste something on Friday night? What are they tasting? I guess it must be bread. You see, in the Talmud in Shavuos, people sometimes say, let's go have a taste. And they eat and they drink. And if you'll tell me, wait, you could eat mazonos, you could eat minei targima. You want to fill in shal sudis, you could eat a piece of cake. So he says, "Hainu dafka b'sudah shlishit." That's only the third meal. Aval lo b'sudat aviv shachit shemikach kvod Shabbat. So this is a machlokas. But here you saw Tosfos' opinion. It's quoted in Shulchan Aruch.
He's saying you can't have kiddush, and you can't go to a kiddush.
Oh, so he's saying you want to go to a kiddush, you got to eat something more serious, if that's going to count as kiddush. Meaning, what you could do is go to kiddush, and then eat a mazonos, and then go home and make kiddush again, and eat your amotzi, by day maybe. By night, you have more of a problem. He's saying, it would seem from Tosfos, that the first two meals you shouldn't be doing that. First of all, not everyone agrees with Tosfos. Meaning, there are a few points here to ponder. The first point I wanted us to see was Tosfos' opinion on Suda Shlishit. That on Suda Shlishit, Tosfos is of the opinion that mazonos is okay. Not everyone agrees with that. Lechatchila, a person should make hamotzi for Suda Shlishit, because there are Rishonim who disagree with Tosfos. Lechatchila, every one of the three meals should be hamotzi. And you'll find something nice in your homes, that if you actually sit down for a hamotzi, the family actually gets together, and you actually have a meal, and it's another time for everyone to be together. The flip side of that is, if you want to get any learning done on Shabbos, it's a little hard. If you got to fit in a meal in the morning, and a meal in the afternoon, and Shabbos, it's a little tough. You know, Rav David Feinstein used to eat his Shalsus before Mincha.
There
is an opinion that says better after Mincha, but okay, I think it's better to eat Suda Shlishit before Mincha, and then go learn after Mincha. You're going to gain another hour of learning every Shabbos. That's a big gain. He used to cover a lot of ground during that hour. I hope he still does. So, the third meal, Tosfos is of the opinion here, you could do it on mazonos. Tosfos seems to say, like you correctly pointed out, that the morning meal is no good. So you're saying, according to Tosfos, would I be allowed to eat a mazonos at a kiddush? To make kiddush? I'm not sure. I think, but I have to look into this. I think, according to Tosfot, I'd be allowed to, but then I would have to make another kiddush at home. I'd have to make another bar priya gafen.
It's like a different category of kiddush, then. It's like a temporary kiddush.
Right? But I'm not sure. I have to look into it. What would Tosfos hold? Are we allowed to do what we're doing now? Now, what happens if a guy forgets ritzei and benching? So we say, any meal that you had to eat, that you had to make amotzi on, you have to repeat benching on with ritze. What about Shal Sudis? According to Tosfos, you for sure don't have to repeat, because you could have made a mazonos. You didn't have to make amotzi. If a person, Shabbos morning, had some cake, he made kiddush, had some cake, made kiddush and shul, had some cake, and then he comes home and has his meal. So then Rav Shlomo Zalman Arbach Zatzal, he said, then according to all opinions, you shouldn't repeat benching. because you already had your three meals on Shabbos, according to Tosfos, which is an opinion that's quoted in Halacha. We say lechatchila you should make hamotzi three times, but b'di'eved we do rely on Tosfos' opinion. So you had your Friday night meal, Shabbos morning you ate your mezonos with kiddush, that counts as a meal, and then you had your meal with hamotzi. And then the question is, what happens with in your meal with hamotzi? What happens if you forget ritzeh? Because, wait a second, is this my third meal or my second meal? Because I already ate mezonos this morning. So that's a question in Allah that's discussed in the posting.
That's only if that third meal or lunch or whatever is after chatzot, right?
I don't think so.
You can have surah shashi before chatzot.
Says like this. Let's make sure I remember correctly. Says. יהי זהיר מאוד לקיים סעודה שלישית, ואף אם הוא שבע יכול לקיים אותה בקביצה, ואם אי אפשר לו כלל לאכול, אינו חייב לצייר את עצמו. זמנה. When's the time to eat סעודה שלישית? מי שיגיע זמן המנחה, דיינו משש שעות ומערך צהר למעלה. From 6.5 hours onward. ואם עשה כל מנחן, לא קיים צעד סעודה שלישית. That's the מחבר. יש מוין דסו שתות מים, תררם. Yeah, the Mechaber says you're supposed to do it from Chatzot onward, 6.5 hours onward. Yeah, you're right, I didn't remember that. That's what it says. It has to be from Chatzot onward. If you started earlier and it went onward, that's also good. But, yeah. So it says, you're right, Shukach. Okay.
If you're eating shalosh and it goes into time for Mari, so like Shabbat is technically, you still say it on say and you bless the day.
Yeah, it's a machlokes, but we say yes. Yeah. Okay. So that was this about the Suda Shlishit. Okay. Tosus brings another point. Uma shelo haya makpid uvekidusha dehacha lo nafkitu. Says in the kiddush over here you weren't yotze. Uma shelo haya makpid al sudat shabbat shelo leechol belo ner kidpiresh bakuntres. Haynu mishum shiuchlu lasot lemachar gimel sudot. He says maybe why wasn't he concerned in general? What happens? How are they going to eat their meal? So he says maybe because they could make three meals tomorrow. Shemu yuchlu leechol b'makom sheyesh sham ner ve'en yain. Or else maybe he knew they could eat their meal by candlelight, but they won't have wine where if they go to the other place, they go to their in-laws for light. If their light goes out, they might not have any wine left. And we discussed wine was more scarce then. And that's another thing, which was also quoted in Halacha. It says, "Mi shelo achal b'leil Shabbat." Let's say you didn't have your meal Friday night. Your wife just gave birth. You've been sitting in labor all night long. You couldn't eat when she's not eating. She'd have your head if you tried to eat when she's not eating. Okay, so yuchal shalosh sudot b'yom haShabbat. So you could eat the three meals on the day of Shabbos. Meaning if for whatever reason you were on guard duty, you were in the army, you couldn't eat Friday night. For whatever reason, you didn't. So then you should eat three by day. Okay. So that's this process. Onward. Back to the Gemara. So the Gemara quoted that Rabba, who was the adoptive father of Abaye, remember Abaye lost his father when his mother was pregnant, lost his mother at childbirth, and Rabba Bar Nachmani adopted him. So when Abaye was a young man, when the students would come to him, he'd tell them, make sure to eat something now after Kiddush, because when you get back home, maybe your light will be out, and then how are you going to have your meal? So Rabba also held Kiddush has to be b'makom suda. So the Gemara questioned, wait a second. So Rabba is going with Shmuel's opinion. He's not makel like Rav. V'amar Abaye, but didn't Abaye teach us Kol mili demar, all the things the rabbi did. Have avid kerav. Who is Abaye's rabbi? He had two rabbis, Rabba and Rav Yosef. You guys remember the story of Rabba and Rav Yosef from the Gemara in Horios? Yeah, did we do it already? Didn't we do it already? Rabba and Rav Yosef. Okay, the Gemara says Rabba was Sinai. Rav Yosef, Rabba was Oker Harim. Rav Yosef was Sinai. Rav Yosef had this fantastic memory. He remembered all the Mishnais and Brises, everything. Rabba, he knew his Shas, and he was very deep. He could figure things out. So when the Rosh Yeshiva died, they sent a letter to Israel, and they asked him, who should be Rosh Yeshiva? Rabba, who is Sinai, who is Oker Harim, he could figure things out with his tremendous mind, or Rav Yosef, who is Sinai. He's got this tremendous tradition of brises better than anyone else. So they sent back word from Israel, Sinai and Oker Harim, Sinai is bigger. Go give Rav Yosef to be Rosh Yeshiva. Rav Yosef had a dream in which they told him that 2 years after he becomes Rosh Yeshiva, he'll die. So Rav Yosef said, no thanks, that's a very nice psak, I'm not taking the position. So Rabba became Rosh Yeshiva for 20 or 22 years. Rabba was Rosh Yeshiva, and Rav Yosef put himself down, he treated himself like he was a regular student. And then Rabba passed away, and then Rav Yosef became Rosh Yeshiva, and 2 years later he really passed away. That's really the way it happened. So Abaye learned by both of them. Rav Yosef, when he became older, used to forget his learning. As master as he was of Talmud, he got sick, he had amnesia or something, he forgot. And Abaye would sometimes remind him, didn't you tell us this and didn't you tell us that? He'd have a lot of derech eretz. But sometimes you find in the Talmud that Abaye is quoting Rav Yosef to Rav Yosef in conversation. Rav Yosef was blind, like a few of the big rabbis of the Talmud, like Rav Sheshes. Rav Yosef couldn't see. I don't know. And Rabba was Abaye's adoptive father. So Abaye calls him Mar, the rabbi. His real rebbe was Rav Yosef. Between the two of them, even though Rabba was his adoptive father, it seems he learned more by Rav Yosef. But here, Abaye is quoting, Kol mili demar, all the things of the master, all the things of Rabba. Have avid kerav. Rabba did everything like Rav. Lebal mehanitlat avid keshmuel, except for three exceptions where he went like Shmuel. There were only three areas, three halachos, where Rabba went like Shmuel. Number one is matirin mibeged lebeged. You're allowed to take tzitzis from one garment and put them into another garment. Rav held you're not allowed to, Shmuel held you're allowed to, and in this area, Rabba went like Shmuel. He permitted to move tzitzis from one garment to another, and that's the halacha.
This is in the
Sugya
by Hanukkah also.
Right, right. Perfect. Excellent. And you're allowed to light the Hanukkah candles from one to the other. You don't need an intermediary candle. And the halacha is like Rabbi Shimon with regard to davar sheino mitkaven. Detanya. Because we have the brisa that goes as follows. Rabbi Shimon Omer. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai says, Gorer adam mita kisev esafsal b'shabbat. A person may drag a chair, a bench, a bed on Shabbos, even though technically he's plowing. There's going to be a furrow left after he finishes dragging it. But that's davar sheino mitkaven. That's not his purpose in what he's doing. He has no interest in that outcome. Notice there's a difference between davar sheino mitkaven and melacha sheina tzicha legufa. I'm interested in this action. I'm interested in this outcome. I'm not interested in the outcome that Chazal wanted. I want to put out the flame. I know that that will cause there to be ash. I have no interest in the ash that will ensue. That's melacha she'ena tzicha legufa. I'm doing it with the intent of this outcome, but this outcome is not what interests me.
What about going into...
One second. And the davar she'ena mitkaven is that I'm not interested in this outcome at all. I'm dragging the bench. I wouldn't mind dragging it on a surface where there wouldn't be a furrow. I'm not interested in the outcome of the ash, in the outcome of a furrow. You guys see the difference between melacha she'ena tzicha legufa? I'm interested in what I'm doing here. My focus is putting out the flame which will cause ash. I don't need the ash. That aspect of the outcome of what I'm doing is not my focus. That's not my intent. That's melacha she'ena tzicha legufa. That's a machlokes Rav Shimon and Rav Yehuda, whether it's biblically prohibited or rabbinically. Chayav or asu. Rav Yehuda says chayav, biblically. Rav Shimon says patur, which in Shabbos means asu. Devar Shimon Mutkeven is a different machlokes. And Shmuel says, you're allowed to do it. Rabbi Shimon, and Devar Shino Mitkaven, Rabbi Shimon says, it is mutar. And Nachashin Hatzichal Gufa, he says, Patur Aval Asur. You guys with me? Let's just, you gotta know this. Yeah? Yes.
So what would walking out with these glasses change color from the sun? Like, would I
know.
Walk out and...
I don't know if there's a problem with those glasses at all. I don't know if that's called
doing.
Well,
just to go without
it. We should verify. Email me. I'll look into it. That's
okay.
So Rabbi Shimon holds you're allowed to drag the bench or the bed or the chair, provided that that's not your intent. You have no interest in making a furrow. So in these three areas, these were the three places where it goes like Shmuel. So how come over here Rav says you can make Kiddush without Makom Suda? Rav is Mekel and he didn't go with it. Answers the Gemara. Those three are examples where Shmuel is Mekel. So he did like Rav in every Chumrah. Don't say he did like Rav in every Kula. Kechumre de Rav Have Avid. He did like Rav anywhere that Rav was Machmir. Kekule de Rav Lo Have Avid. But he didn't do like the leniencies of Rav. So that's why over here, where Rav is lenient and says you don't need Kiddush b'makom suda, Rava nonetheless held you do need Kiddush b'makom suda. Clear? Yes? Can we move on? Okay. V'Rav Yochanan amar, and Rav Yochanan held. And remember, we said Rav Rav Yochanan halacha ke Rav Yochanan. Rav Yochanan is more powerful than Rav and Shmuel. Rav and Shmuel, who's the halacha like? Halacha like Rav be Surei, halacha ke Shmuel be Mamonos. But Rav Yochanan is more powerful than both of them. So Rav Yochanan over here is going to tell us, what did Rav Yochanan do? He compiled the Jerusalem Talmud. Rav Yochanan was a disciple of Rabbi Yanai, the Rabbi of Rabbi Elazar. He lost all 10 children he had. The last child was boiled to death before his eyes. Rabbi Yochanan was a beautiful person, and he was the brother-in-law of Reish Lakish. Reish Lakish was the one who was the bandit. He saw him and said, your beauty should be for women. He said, I have a more beautiful sister than I. If you're Chozer B'tshuva, if you come back to the Beis Medrash, I'll get her to marry you. And that's what happened. You guys remember this? We did this. Weiter. Okay.
Shmuel was a doctor.
He was Rebbe's doctor. Shmuel Yarchino, yeah. Right. You remember, we did this a week or two ago. Very good. Okay. Shmuel was Rebbe's doctor, and Rebbe could never give him smicha. And finally, Rebbe said, I saw it in the history book that God wrote before the world that I'm never going to get smicha. God already declared that I'm never going to make it. Don't feel so bad. Every time Rebbe tried to convene a bezdin to give him smicha, something else came up and it didn't work. So Hashem wrote a book called Seder Adoros. Hashem wrote a book that explains who's going to lead each generation. And in that book, sometimes God gives different people a peek in that book. And it said that Shmuel would be Rebbe's doctor, but he'd never make it to get smicha, to be Rebbe. So Rav Yochanan holds Af Yedei Yayin Nami Yatzu. Rav Yochanan holds a phenomenal shita. He says, if you made Kiddush in Shul, you don't have to make a Bari Priyagachan again when you get home. Even the Birchas Hanenin, it's good when you get home. Explains the Gemara. Rashbam right away tells us, what does Rashbam say? Why? Sharei lo sich da'ato. He didn't have Hesech Hadas when he left Shul. Shadayin da'ato lechol blishtot bebeito. What are you thinking about when you're standing in Kiddush and Shul? This is a Rashbam that I can feel with all the time. Shul finishes. What's the first thought that enters your mind? What's for supper? Right? Your thoughts are already on your meal. I don't know if you guys are that way, but that's the way I am. Shul is over. My mind is already on the Friday night meal. My mind isn't there anymore. Yeah, you guys don't find it? That's the way I find it. Maybe you're a more social bird. So Rashbam says, when you hear a Borei Priyagafen in Shul, in your mind, that's fine. You're already half in your meal already. Your mind's there. So from that Baruch Piyagaf until you get home, there's no Hesach Hadas. Says Tosfos right away, Umayri Sheshatu Bebet HaKneset. It's got to be that they drank in Shul. Af Agav Leinyan Kiddush Yatzu B'Shmiya, even though Kiddush you could be Yotzi with only hearing Kiddush. But the Baruch Piyagaf and the Birchas HaNenim, you had to have drank something. That's what we discussed last week. That if you're standing at a Kiddush, he made Kiddush, he drank, and then you spoke and you didn't drink, you need another Baruch Piyagaf. His Birchas HaNenim is only good for me if I didn't have a Hefzit.
You're
Yotzi on Kiddush, but you're not Yotzi the Birchas HaNenim. This is very relevant. You go to a Kiddush. Another relevant question. You go to a Kiddush. They make Kiddush. You get this little drop of grape juice. Now, technically, it says if you made a Baruch Piyagaf, you don't have to make a Shako. You don't have to make a Brach on any other drink. Yeah, can you tell me that your every other drink, your Coke and your Sprite and your everything else is buttled to a drop of grape juice? It's not even wine. So that's not the Lechora. It doesn't say it clearly anywhere. That seems like that's not buttled. Everything else you're going to drink is not buttled to a drop of grape juice. The little bit of grape juice you get in your cup. Yeah?
Wait, why not? Just because it doesn't like seem right?
So I discussed this with my teachers and they said that the reason we don't have so much response on this is because they didn't have grape juice for very long. It didn't last. Should we go off on this tangent? Did we discuss this last week? We discussed it. The Baron Herzog and the Degros Moshe.
Nothing was written.
What?
Nothing was written that he was following.
No. Right. So on grape juice, we don't have that much written. But the logic is that, A, when Chazal said that drinks are batel, they're batel to wine. Wine has chashivas. Grape juice, if not for the fact that the Talmud tells us it's like wine, we wouldn't know that. It doesn't seem to have the same chashivas as wine. And B, the even though we say a kol shehu is chashiv, but there has to be a limit to the volume of a kol shehu. I mean, you can't say that a little bit of grape juice that they put into your cup has so much chashivas that that's it. Everything else is batel to that. So,
the way you just phrased that, it sounded more like an emotional statement than a halachic statement.
I'm telling you what my teachers told me. I also, when I read the text, I didn't see it either way. For them, it seemed obvious that way. I don't know the difference. If you ask me what the chashivas of wine is, so the Gemara says it makes men happy and God happy. So you could libate it on the mizbeach, you could do nisa chayayin, and people get happy. I guess you get happier with a cup of wine than a cup of grape juice, right? If you ask me what's the difference between grape juice and orange juice, I don't know. I don't get happier with grape juice than orange juice. Maybe I get happier with orange juice than grape juice. But the Gemara tells us that grape juice is like wine. But it certainly doesn't seem to have that level of chashivas. So, alcohol. Okay. But you see that other alcoholic beverages don't have that chashivas. Meaning nothing's batel to schnapps. Okay. So it's something else. So at any rate, Tosfos over here tells us the key point. That it has to be that they drank in shul. Even according to Rabbi Yochanan. You could be Yotze Kiddush by Shomaka One. The Kiddush aspect, but the Berach Sanenin, when you get home, you can't hold on to that bracha and say, no, Hesech Hadas. What do you mean? You just walked from Shul to your house. You can't go drink a cup of grape juice based on the Kiddush you heard in Shul. Yeah, fair enough. Makes sense? Yes, Yontan? Onward. Okay. The question here is, should we take 5 minutes to learn the Gemara of Avodah Zarah? But you guys don't have Gemara. Okay. So we'll pause here for this week. And,